Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia. And I believe we spoke about it last week. And so today, my wife is presenting her half marathon medal.
Here it is, in all her little glory.
She did it. She did it smiling the whole time. She made it look easy. Everybody who went to go watch all said that she was the one that looked like you were enjoying it the most. And so, yeah, tell us about it. How'd you feel?
It was super fun. You always have said I have like fish brain. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember struggling. The last, I want to say like mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, I do remember being just like, oh my goodness, I want to get this over with. Like,
yeah.
Where's the finish line? And so I just started booking it. My heart rate was not healthy. Like I just gave it all I got. But even then, I don't remember like having a thought of saying, oh my gosh, this is hard, or I want to give up, or why did I sign up for this? Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely enjoyed the whole process. I loved seeing you guys halfway. That really gave me like a boost that I needed. The little orange slices was like a little boost, like pick me up that I needed.
What orange slices?
So a bunch of people from the community or like spectators gather around and just start offering new things. And so one of them was orange slices, and I didn't take anything, like even from the volunteers of the marathon. I didn't take anything for about 7.5 miles. Mm-hmm. I was just adamant of just like you trained, Grace, just like you trained, like don't change up anything. But then the oranges, it was the first time I saw oranges about like 7.5. And I'm like, those look really good.
Were they already peeled?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just had to, the first ones I got were like the half, like the little, just one slice with mm-hmm. like the peeling. So you just had to like stick in your mouth and then throw the peel away, if that makes sense.
Oh, like so they were like oranges. They weren't tangerines.
No, the second time I got one was a little tangerine, all peeled.
Okay.
But the first one was like a little sliver with like the peel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that would have sucked if like they're giving away like tangerines, but they're not peeled.
No, and so you're I didn't
running
see that
and peeling at,
all.
At the same time.
Yeah, I didn't see that at all. And when I had the orange, it was like so refreshing and it was so good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. Like maybe I'm past the point of like my body's not going to feel bad for taking something new. And it's orange is relatively healthy.
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, let me get a Gatorade next.
Gatorade.
But that was lukewarm. So that was, I was like, wrong choice. I like took 2 sips and threw it away. Uh-huh. And I mind you, I had like electrolytes and I had like leftovers, so I wasn't needing drinks. And then the last 2 miles, I got another tangerine that was fully peeled. Mm-hmm. And then I saw like people were giving mini donuts away. And I was like, oh, I'm almost done. Let me have fun with it. So that was like the last 3 miles, I started like clapping people's hands because I was like pretty not serious, but like just focused, not really engaging with the crowd. And then the last 3 miles, like when I had my tangerine and stuff like that, I got like a little donut and then I was having fun, like hand clapping people. And just like when I would hear music, I'd like party with the people who were like dancing and
yeah.
I was having more fun with it because I'm like, okay, I'm almost done. Like I'm going to end. I'm not worried about it at all. So it was super fun. It was super fun.
What was your favorite part about it?
I think seeing you guys for sure midway just... It was awesome. It gave me like a pick me up that I really needed. And just proving to myself that, dang, I'm a little better than I thought.
Yeah. yeah, it was, you left or you didn't even sleep over the night before. You slept at Nancy's house mm-hmm. or Nancy's sister's house. And so I had to wake up early, get the kids ready. Get them fed, and then Carrie and Micah came with us,
And our plan was to be there around 7. And I was trying to catch like all the marathoners, but by the time that we got there, they had already passed the point. And it was going to be too hard to go up and try to see them and then come down to see you. So we just like stuck around and waited for you and Nancy to come by. And so we went to the beach. You came by, and Nancy's family was there as well, and we all started cheering. I honestly thought you were going to cry. It was a little disappointing that you didn't. And then I'm like, okay, maybe at the finish line, because you had been telling me like, oh, I think I'm going to cry. Like, this is like something huge, and like I never thought. But you were so happy to see us. We recorded you. You recorded us. I ran with you for like, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds, whatever. And you didn't know at the time, I guess, your pace that you're going at. Yeah. But I was like, what are you trying to do? Because you were, according to the Long Beach Marathon app or the website, it said that you were running at like 10:14 or something like that when most of your training was done at like 11:30, 12. And so I'm like, what are you trying to do? Because you were like, you had this chip on your shoulder before, like, I want to beat your time and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, oh, she's actually going for it. Like, okay. But it was so exciting to see you. And then a couple minutes later, we saw Nancy and we all started cheering at the top of our lungs. And homegirl started crying. And then her mom started crying, which was such a beautiful a moment. And yeah, just to see everybody. It was, and then we all went to the finish line and we started seeing people like that we knew cross. We had like, what, 10-ish people like that we knew running the marathon and half marathon.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And it was a great event. I think it was great weather.
Yeah.
It wasn't hot. Yeah, it was just a really great experience. And it was definitely different to be on the other side because I was supposed to run the full marathon, but I loved every second of trying to at least see everybody cross and cheering them on at the top of my lungs. And yeah, because I know that means a lot to me, like when I'm running, like to have people like supporting or whatever or running with. And yeah, I'm kind of actually also surprised that you only enjoyed the crowd at the very end. I feel like for both the Long Beach Marathon and the Rose Bowl that I did, I just sucked it in. Like, I love having like just a bunch of strangers cheer for you and their funny messages on their
signs.
On their signs. And yeah, just the energy. And I was never brave enough to like take anything. Like when I've ran, like they offer like cookies and donuts, mm-hmm. But I'm just like, what are the chances that they did something to this? Or I'm like, nah, I just can't. I don't even do it for the sake of my stomach. I'm just like, because you were like, oh, I've never really trained with like oranges, or whatever. I don't know what that's going to do my stomach. Because that's a big worry for a lot of runners is taking something new that you haven't taken before and you don't know what it's going to do your stomach. Because you are really affected when you're running, like how your stomach reacts. But I solely never took anything just for the sole purpose of like, I don't know if they've done anything to.
I didn't even think of that.
To this stuff.
When you say I'm like more paranoid, but I didn't even think of that.
No, heck no. But like to soak up all the cheers and stuff. Oh man, I never run a race. Well, I haven't run so far a race with earphones on.
Yeah, you said that, and so I was like, I'm gonna try it, and I think I tried it for like the first 3 miles, but there was a lot of places. At least the first 3 miles, like we go from like over a freeway bridge and down and like through the freeway curve and back up, There wasn't really spectators there. So I'm like, what the, this is boring. And so I put like my headphones on. And then when I think I was just.
It's still boring to you? For me, like it's not even just the crowd, but it's also like the thousands upon thousands of people that you're like running with.
Yeah, it wasn't boring, but I was like, I want my music. And then I just started like it was fun seeing them, and I was looking at the signs, but I was just like locked in. I was like, I need to. There's one moment I saw the 210 pace right in front of me. I'm like, oh, let me see if I can catch up, like just stay with them.
Yeah,
but no, because David finished his first half marathon at 2 hours and 9 minutes, And so when I saw the 2 hour 10 minute people like right in front of me, I'm like, oh, let me just stick with it. Huh. But it was not even like a mile. And I'm like, nah, no, no, this isn't wise of me. It was like the first 3 miles.
Yeah.
So I just let them go. I was like, all right, bye.
It is a good feeling, though. For the Rose Bowl, me and Caesar ran that together. And we, I don't think we got there late, but we got into the corral really late. And they didn't like separate them like they did for the Long Beach. So we got put in the back and we were starting with the people that were like doing a half marathon in like 3+ hours.
Oh, wow.
But it was really cool, like running the whole thing and seeing like, oh, I just passed a 3 hour pacer, just passed a 250 pacer. I just passed a 240 pacer. Like it, that part is really cool.
And one of the things I was confused about, because I mean, mind you, it's my first one. And so the corral is like, this is probably super stupid of me, like saying it out loud. Like, I thought each corral had their own pacers in there, if that made sense.
No. Mm-mm.
So like you could have a, you know, like, you know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah, yeah.
So in my head, when I let the 210 pass by.
You said there was going to be another 210?
No. I didn't realize that 220 was behind me. Like, it just didn't come to my attention.
Okay.
So it wasn't until the last 3 miles where 220 was getting above me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my goodness. Because in my head, I wanted to finish at 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I asked Alexa, what's the average for a woman to finish a half marathon? And they said 2 hours and 20 minutes. And then you looked at me and you're like, Grace, don't. Like, just like kill your pride. Like, no. Yeah. Why are you going to try? And I was like, but just knowing that the average is the woman is 2 hours and 20, like, how am I not supposed to try? Mm-hmm. But then I was like, no, this isn't wise, like, whatever. So I kind of let it go. And so in my head, I didn't think of, like, oh, what my pace is going to be, like, until I saw the 210. I'm like, let me just try. And then I'm like, no. And then I kind of gave it up. And so I didn't know I was running, like, faster than a 220 until I saw the 220 pass me. Like, I guess I started slowing down the last 3 miles. And I was like, wait. Like, I've been ahead of him this whole time. I didn't even know. And so that's why I was like, okay, let me just, so I stayed with them the whole time. And I think you see them in my pictures when I'm crossing the 220 pacers. And I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't know I was like ahead of them. So I feel like if I knew that the whole time, I would have just like gave it all I've got. Cause I feel like I still had some juice left in me. I was just being mindful of like, this is my first half marathon. I don't know if there's going to be a moment where I'm like, I can't physically like make it across or like, I want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, oh, if I knew that, I would just, let me try for a two. I don't know if I could have done a 210, mind you, but like at least for a better than two, I did 223, basically 224.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh dang, I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you did it. You did it. And I mean, we saw you smiling when we saw you on the beach, and then we saw you smiling at the finish line. And I joked around because everyone's like, she was always smiling. Like, she didn't look like she was suffering. And I was like, she saw us from a distance and started smiling before. But then you just got your pictures, and in every picture, you're smiling. Unless like you saw all the photographers too before like you ran past them and you started smiling as well. I don't know. Only you know that. But yeah, it looked like you had a blast and it was amazing. And I guess I have a couple of questions in regards to this. When did you start training for this?
In June.
And what had you done in regards to running before June?
Mind you, this is June of this year, 2025. Before June, I never ran. Just if I absolutely had to, like, chase my kids and stuff. I was this person who, in middle school, that's like the earliest memory I have of like having to run.
Mm-hmm.
No, I lied. So fourth grade, after school, like once a week, there was like a track club.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Mom, I want to do it. And she's like, okay, sure, like whatever. And I think I lasted like 2 to 3 days. And after, I was like, Mom, I want to quit. Like, this is boring. Because I think I did it because my friend signed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave it a shot. I didn't like it. And then middle school, I remember having like PE, and I would be the person that I would just tell the coach, like, I don't care about this mile for a grade. And then I would just walk it. And the coach would be like, because me and my friends were walking it and they'd have to wait for us, like, come on, Linda. And in high school, I found out, oh, I can not have take PE if I do dance.
Yeah.
And so I found a loophole and did dance. And then beginner's PE, you still had to, like, take a test of do some miles. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm going to be intermediate just to not do that test. And so I did intermediate dance, not because I was a good dancer, but I worked my butt up because I was avoiding running. Mm-hmm. And so I did dancing the whole time. That was like the memories I had of running. I mean, I did do cheer in like middle school, and I would have to run laps here and there. We got in trouble and things like that, but I never like wanted to be in a position that required running.
So you went from zero running to running a half marathon in 4 months.
Was it 4 months? I didn't even do the math. Yeah.
If you started in June, July, August, September, October. And that's if you start at the beginning of June. If you started later, it's more like 3 months and whatever.
Yeah. And when I started in June, I remember I couldn't even do a whole mile without stopping. Hmm. Like I started like having to do intervals, like run and walk. And then I remember I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go slow. And so I ran a mile slow and I was so proud of myself. And then I was trying, I just did it slow. And then one day I just did 3 miles nonstop and I got super excited. So then I told Nancy, my friend, which Nancy, if you're watching this, like huge shout out to her, because running with a partner and like having someone to look forward to doing the long runs, like also pushed me and made me excited to want to do my long runs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super happy that having Nancy enjoy this journey with me, like, was truly incredible. I wish everyone had a running partner to experience that with.
Yeah.
And I told Nancy once, I'm like, hey, you want to run at the beach path with me? And she's like, yeah. And she's done it before. It was my first time. And running there and back was going to be 6 miles. And I told her, like, I've only done 3 miles. But like, let's see if I could do six. Like, let's just see it. Mm-hmm. And so we did it. But I was so excited because I think that's the day you gave me my training shoes. Like you saw that I was doing my little 3 miles like consistently. Mm-hmm. And so you bought me my training shoes. And so that was the first time. And I was so pumped that I not only did 6 miles, but I went a little bit farther and did 7 miles. So I went from 3 to 7 miles in like a day. And I was like, oh, I for sure could do a half marathon. I'm already halfway there and I feel good. Like that was the first time I experienced runner's high because I felt good doing 7 miles. Mm-hmm. But it was because what you told me of like, take it slow, like do it in a pace, kill your pride where you feel like you can go all the time. And so I remember like letting Nancy pass me that moment. And I was like, I went on a like really slow pace that I felt like I could run for a long time. And ever since that, I'm like, oh, I could do a half marathon.
And why did you choose a half marathon rather than most people would probably be like, I've never ran before. Let me start with a 5K and then build up to a 10K and build up to a half marathon.
I think because of how fast I did it. So since I already did 3 miles like nonstop, I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to pay for a 5K. And then the next time I was going to train again, I didn't know how much I was going to run. I did 7 miles. I was like, well, I'm not going to do a 10K. I already passed it. And so I'm like, okay, let's just do.
So you did it for the challenge.
Yeah. Just like, I want to see if I could do it. And mind you, I was this close of just doing the full marathon, like just jumping from nothing to a full marathon, because I was already doing like 11 miles, 12 miles. Then at one point I passed a half marathon. I did 13.45 mm-hmm. miles and all of it, I like felt good. And so even my physical therapist, she's like, what are you doing? Just do the full marathon. And yeah. I had friends saying like, just do it. Like, but I was nervous because I started running in the summer when I didn't work. Mm-hmm. And so I was afraid of starting my job and not being consistent. I'm like, okay, well, I'm running right now that I'm not working. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can keep running when I'm teaching middle schoolers all day. It's a draining and exhausting job. I didn't know if I was going to keep myself accountable. So I was like, oh, I'm really tempted to, but it's naive of me. I don't know like what my schedule or my routine will look like. And so I didn't want to like bite more off than I could chew. Mm. So I was like, no, let me just be wise and not do it. But I really wanted to at one point.
And that leads me to my next question, which you kind of answered, but if you have anything else to add to it or just reiterate what you just said, what did it take for you to get from June of never running to October running and completing a half marathon?
Killing your pride and starting slow. A lot of people are like, oh, I can't run a half marathon or a mile or 2 miles without stopping. And it's probably because you're going faster than you should. Mm. And so if you feel like you can't, you're going too fast.
Yeah.
Like everyone can run. You just have to slow down. Even if that's to the point where you feel like you're power walking, like then that's your starting point. Mm-hmm. And so kill your pride is always, I think, the best advice, which that's what you gave me. And I feel like that completely, me learning that from the beginning changed it. Because I went, again, from not being able to run to running through miles. Mind you, I started off really slow, but the fact that I was able to finish nonstop, like changed the game for me and my perspective. And just being consistent. I was so proud of myself because once I was determined of like, I'm going to do this half marathon, I bought my ticket. Mm-hmm. I asked ChatGPT for a running plan and I stuck to it. There was not one time where I didn't run where my training thing said to do it. Once when it was when I got sick, I think. Mm-hmm. That was like the week before the half marathon. So I was worried. And that was like, I was like, I wonder if I could have even gone further, because I still, I don't know if you guys can hear my voice, like, I still don't feel like 100% complete or healthy or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was one thing, because I knew that if I stopped once, that just gave, it's not even like a physical thing, it's a mindset thing. If you just allow yourself one day off, you already allowed it in your mind, and so you're just, it's easier for your mind to let yourself then lose another day. And another day. Like, it's just a mental thing. Mm-hmm. And so I told myself, no, this is not, this is just something you don't do. Because I know if I gave myself the permission, it was going to set the precedent of, well, I'm tired and you already did it for this day. And so I just stuck to it. And so that really helped me too, just a mind thing. Like, didn't matter if I got bad sleep. It didn't matter if I didn't have a running partner. It didn't matter if I had to do it. Because I do get really, like, sketched out. And so I was going to do it Sunday evenings where the sun beat down and it was after church. And I did not want to do it. Like, those were, like, where I'm like, oh. And I would just come after church, change into my clothes, then relax. Because I knew, like, the hardest thing is to change into your clothes. Mm-hmm. And so I would have my workout clothes, relax, and then just do it. And I would tell myself, like, if I can run in this heat, this exhausted, then come fall, I'm gonna feel super duper good. And that's what I just kept telling myself. Like, I am training myself so that it could be easier. And it did. Like, once the sun started coming out, because people were starting to complain that the sun was coming out half marathon, like the last few miles, I didn't even think about the sun because it did not compare to like the heat that I would train in.
Yeah.
So all of that, I would just tell myself, like, it would be worth it. It'll be worth it.
So just to break it down into points, it was kill your pride. Mm-hmm. It was time organization. It was wisdom. It was discipline. It was determination. It was training to be able to get stronger and to be able to endure hard situations. Anything else that I'm missing?
Yeah, strength training, I think, does a major difference. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just been hearing people who have been running and not incorporating strength training. And so I'm sure there's a physical, like, reason to it. Obviously, like, your legs need to be able to sustain you running. Like, you're putting a lot of pressure on them, or mm-hmm. impact. Well,
yeah, go ahead.
And so there would be times where I would feel weak, and I would just, again, it's just a mental thing. I would just tell myself, no, you've been strength training. Like, this is a lie. Like, your body can handle it. Like, even if you feel like you're breaking down, you're not going to collapse. Like, I would just tell myself, like, no, you've been working out your legs. You might feel tired. You might feel like you're going to collapse, but you've got it. And so maybe, like, my body was feeling weak, but it's just a mental thing. Mm. And even, like, points where I would feel some type of pain, like my ankles would hurt or my knees would hurt, I would just tell myself, like, you've given birth. Like, this isn't compare. Like, just power through. This isn't pain. So I do think, and a lot of people say this, that it's way more of a mental thing than a physical thing. And I do think I'm a resilient, like, mind person. And so that helps a lot if you can build your mental resiliency and how you talk to yourself while you're running, because they always say your mind gives out faster than your body. Mm-hmm. And so if you can prolong your mind, you can keep going. It's your mind that's going to keep you through.
And what I love about everything that you've said, and I said this to the running group that I was leading with Nancy, and I'll say it for probably forever, is that all these things that you incorporated into running, all these lessons that you've learned, all these skills and all these characteristics that you're applying to this, like, is universal. Like, you can use it in anything. And that's part of the reason why I've, this, in this episode, we're going to kind of focus on, you know, your whole process. because in any situation, whether whatever goal you want, if it's opening up a business, if it is going back to school, if it is reaching some sort of health goal, if it is going after some sort of challenge, whatever it is, everything Grace just said, what you just said, like, applies to universally to all of that. Like, you need to kill your pride. Don't go faster than you should. Like, when you go faster than you should, you burn out. And everyone wants to do everything fast. And so most people tend to burn out. Time organization, like, a lot of people don't know how to budget their time. And it makes them crash and burn. Like, having determination and discipline, even when you don't feel like it, keep going. Even if the training, or even if the process is hot and daunting, and you're like, am I really going to do this? Do it and see that, like, exactly what you said at the, towards the end of your race, the sun was coming out and people were complaining. You were like, I trained in much hotter than this. This is nothing to me. Like, it makes you stronger, both mentally and physically, like, this whole process, and which is amazing. But here's the part where I want to actually focus on. What happens now? You have trained for 4 months. You went from 0 to 13.1. And that's a little pause for you guys. Now you know there is no excuse. Like, if you really wanted to, you could really go from 0 to half a marathon in 4 months. Whereas some people, whether it is through excuses and they want to prolong something, or they're procrastinating, or they're scared, or whatever it is, like, sometimes they build up this challenge into this ginormous giant or a mountain where they go, it's too big, let me tackle this little one first. And I think that's something to admire about you, because you were like, I ran 3 miles. Why do I need to pay to run 3 miles? Like, that's not a challenge to me, or I don't feel like it's a challenge to me. Let me see about a 10K. Then you ran 7 miles. You're like, that's not a challenge to me. Like, let me challenge myself. Let me go into something where I'm a little bit nervous about if I'm going to do well, if I'm going to be able to finish, you know? And so I just want to encourage anybody who wants to do anything, such as a race, or again, it could be business or whatever, like, you can, with the right actions, with the right execution, with the right plan, with the right wisdom, you can do something like this. You can, it's possible. So stop saying inside of your head, like, it's impossible. No, I can't. You said it, like, how you speak to yourself is very important. It dictates your emotions. It dictates your steps. It dictates your actions. And so you need to have this sort of belief and this faith that I can. And after I can, the belief that I can, it's I will. Now it's all about the actions. And so I just want to encourage you guys, it's possible. Whatever it is that you think is next to impossible, like, it is possible.
Yeah.
You just need the right steps. And Grace gave you a good chunk of all the steps. So, but where I want to actually focus on for today is what happens now. You went from June to October, 4 months of training, doing something that you never did before, challenging yourself. Maybe you were a little nervous at the beginning, but you did it and you passed it with flying colors. You beat your goal. You crossed the finish line. What now?
Well, the day after I bought my full marathon ticket, I was like, so excited.
Wait, say that again?
The day after I bought my full marathon.
The day after what?
The day after my half marathon. I bought my full marathon ticket for the LA marathon. So I was super excited, and I'm like, all right, let's see what I'm made of. Like, let's truly test my mental capacity. And so now it's training for that, and I'm super excited. I'm like, I don't know if it's being naive or mentally challenged. But, yeah, that's what's coming up next, which would be crazy because that would be, like, not even a year in my running journey.
The reason why I bring this part up, and this is where I want to focus on, is because I feel like a lot of people have a goal in mind. It could be whatever. It could be, I want to buy a house. I want to start a business. I want to buy a car. I have this dream. I want to do a marathon, whatever it is. And let's say that they work at it and they end up crossing the finish line. There are some people that put this goal on a pedestal and they make it all about this goal and they lose focus on the process. And so when they reach this goal, the what's next for them usually becomes a level of complacency where they go, I reached it. I got to the level that I wanted to get to. What happens now? Well, I relax. I did it. I worked hard for it. Now I get to just relax here and I don't know. We'll see. Whenever I get the feelings to do something else, we'll see. And I feel like that the what's next is very important to focus on. Not for the sake of you don't deserve rest and not for the sake of you don't deserve to recover and all that stuff, but for the sake of what was the point of the goal? Was it simply just the goal? And when I ask that question, what comes to mind to you? Like, what was the point of running a half marathon? Was it just about running a half marathon?
No, I think how you said, for me, this topic goes much more than just running. And as you were talking of, you know, going from not running to running the half marathon and then now the full marathon and how people just settle with complacency. That has never been me. Mm-hmm. I've even with like my education, I knew like, okay, once I get my bachelor's, like I'm gonna get my master's and you're like, oh, grace. And then what? Like, well, then I'm gonna get my doctorate. It's like, it's just nonstop. Or once I've gotten a raise or job position, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get another one and I'm gonna try to get more money or like,
where does that come from?
I think for me, and that's where he said, like, what's the purpose? I just want to know, like, what am I made of? Like, what is my limit? Mm. That's always been something that I'm curious about.
Is there a chance that the what am I made of is also mixed in with what has God placed in me?
For sure. I'm like, I do not want to not reach my potential. Mm. And so I do think it can come from a little fear of, like, am I enough? Or for sure, I think there's negative aspects. And that's why it's so important to check yourself, not get value from it. But for me, it's always just been like, what is my maximum? Even when it came to like giving birth, like I wanted to know, can I not have drugs? Like, can I endure the maximum pain of childbirth? Like, yeah. No, okay, then it would have been no. But it's like, can I? Like, I want to see, like, until what point is my reaching level, which probably sounds crazy, but I just want to know, like, God. And I think this is important for everyone. Like, God made us. And if we truly believe that God made us in his image, with the calling, with the purpose, then we'll be able to reach it. And I've always been a believer that knowledge is power. And so when I got pregnant, with my firstborn, I remember just reading a bunch of books about pregnancy, labor and delivery, and they were instilling in me, like, we were made for childbirth. Mm-hmm. And so the hospitals and science makes us think, like, we need to be in a hospital, like, we need to be medicated, like we're fragile, like, something's going to go wrong, as if we're not made for that. And it's like, no, the reality is my body, without anything, knows what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything else. And so I just see it in that way. Like, no, my body was meant to be moving. Like, my body was meant to be healthy. My body was meant to run. Like, if you think about like the Stone Age or whatever, like hunting, gathering, whatever, like we were supposed to just like be how the Greek gods, like statues, like, you know, like the idea of like strength and stuff like that. Like, I think that's how like God imagined us. And so I know it sounds like again crazy now, where people are like, why don't you just take the epidural? Like, oh my gosh, why are you put yourself through that? It's because I want to see what God made me to be. Like, what am I capable of?
Yeah.
And I would hate to leave this earth knowing, like, I didn't tap into my potential. Like, there's so much more for my life, but I was afraid of being uncomfortable. I was afraid of the inconvenience of it, not knowing, like, dang, like, what does God have for me in that store? And it's on the other side of sacrifice.
There is, I guess I would call it a fear, but I wouldn't call it an unhealthy fear, but there's like a sort of fear in me, and I've told you about it. I've told a handful of people, and I told somebody else on Sunday. There's a fear in me that I'll be 80-something years old on my deathbed, maybe 90, whatever God chooses, but that I'll be old in age and on my deathbed, and I reflect on my life, and I reflect on my life here on earth, and I go, God created this big, beautiful planet, and I saw none of it. That I didn't get to travel. I didn't get to see the wonders. I didn't get to see the beauty, all the beauty that God created, all the different cultures, all the different scenery, like just taking it all in, right? And in the same way that you just were talking about it, it also made me feel like there also is a fear in me as well. And I guess like a healthy fear of, in the same way, being in my deathbed and reflecting, I'm like, now it's not just about like seeing this big, beautiful earth, but seeing what God created in me, like to the full potential. And I'm like, what if I'm that age and I go, I never got to see everything that God placed in me, you know? And I feel like that should be a driving factor. Like there's something special put in all of us. And to be in our deathbed one day and just that realization comes up, like, I didn't do my best. I didn't squeeze all the potential out. Like, God placed something amazing in me and I only reached 50% of it. Mm-hmm. Some people might be happy with that, but I don't think I would be happy with that because it's like God placed something special in you, like a special treasure if you want to, like, and you never uncovered the full treasure. Like, that should be a driving factor for us all. Mm-hmm. And a driving factor that hopefully never allows us to be complacent. Because again, there is a difference between having a moment of rest, which is part of a healthy rhythm, and being completely complacent, which means I've made it. There's nothing more. I can't learn anymore, or I don't want to learn anymore. I'm good here. Like, I'm fine. This is my new comfortability. I worked hard to get here, and I don't want to work more. Like, I'm done. Like, you're cutting yourself off. And again, that's why I want to focus on after this race, like what happens now. And you just said, like, I signed up for my next marathon. And before, like, today I was thinking about it. I'm like, there is a future. Like, if, think about it like the Marvel Universe or something, right? And if there was a multiverse or whatever, like, My point is there's a future version of us that is sitting in the future, yelling, screaming, and begging that we continue moving forward because of the difference that it's going to make in the future. And so many times, because the future is, what's the word? Intangible. Like you don't feel it. You don't taste it yet. Like it's, you don't see it. Like a lot of us don't take it that seriously until we get to that age. We're just like, oh, and then you hear the, I wish I was 20 years old again and I knew everything that I knew now so I could practice it all now and do it all now. And that's something that should really just like shake us. Like there is a future version of us that is praying and begging and yelling and like, please, please, you can't hear them. You won't hear them until you're at that age or whatever. But there is a version of us that's like, please, 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 for your kids, this is going to make a difference. Please, for your health, this is going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Please, for your next generations and you setting up this business or whatever, like it's going to make a difference. Like what you're doing now is going to make a humongous difference in the future. We just don't see it yet.
For sure. And I think the only regret, no one regrets like taking the first step. All the regrets is like how you exactly said, I wish I started earlier.
Yeah.
Like I started when I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, how much faster, more fit would I have been before? Like if this is me at my 30, who would have known, right? But no one regrets starting. Everyone just regrets how far it took, like how long it took. And so, yeah, I encourage everyone to just start. But I do want to make a point. I don't know if you had more.
No, keep going.
On that line, because I feel like I want to go back a little bit. And we were talking about like the steps that it took.
Because
it might seem, and I don't want to discourage people if they're listening and like, well, I don't have that Grace has. Or like Grace is just this awesome person. Like she just did it on her own. Because that is far from the truth. Everything that I'm proud of, that I accomplished, that I'm like, dang, this is something to brag about. I never did it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think God doesn't expect you to do it alone. I think he designed it so that you don't do it alone. And just thinking back and reflecting in my life, when I was in school at Biola, there were so many times I talked to advisors there and asked them, am I taking the right classes? Or I'm struggling or whatever. Like I would reach out to my academic counselors and advisors. And through our marriage, there was times where I didn't know what to do in steps. And so we did individual therapy. We did therapy together. With pregnancy, like I would read books. There was one point when we got a midwife, breastfeeding. Like I was so proud of myself for being able to breastfeed my son for a little over 2 years and my daughter for a little over 3 years. But I researched, went to La Leche Leagues, went to lactation consultants in my career, always asking people around me, like, what can I do? People who were already teachers, and so I knew I wanted to be a teacher. Like, what did you do so you can do this? Even, like, for working out, like, I sought physical therapy. And I wouldn't have been able to be where I am today if it wasn't for the times I reached out. And I truly think without my physical therapist, which is when I started running in June, which a lot of the times insurance covers it, but whether it's your physical therapist or a running club or someone who you know has already been there, like the point is like reach out, like it makes it so much easier. It gives you that push you need. And sometimes we don't have it within us to just be great on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, don't ever feel less than or, oh, like I'm just not like them, because every big step of the way, like I reached out, and I think that's part of, like killing your pride, like just go seek help.
Yeah.
And it makes a world of a difference.
Yeah. That's a great point. We aren't meant to do things alone. Going back to what happens after, I do want to speak on the person that achieves a goal and takes a long hiatus. Again, we are not opposed to rest and recovery, but if you are going to continue on this path of being a better version of yourself every single day, that hiatus can't be that long.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because no matter what it is that you're doing, whether it's health, finances, spiritual, whatever, the longer your hiatus, whether you feel like you're staying the same, we've said it here before, when you feel like you're staying the same, you're not staying the same, you're getting worse. And after more and more time, you get backtracked and backtracked and backtracked and backtracked. So you could have taken, let's say, 3 steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
But in the time that you're taking off, you're taking like 2 steps back. So in reality, you only took 1 step forward, which is still great. That's progress. But like, if you want to continue to see great things in your life, you need that healthy rhythm, which means take your day, week of rest and get back into it. Like right now, you've taken what? How many days? Not even.
Two.
Like 2 days. And then
Monday is always my rest day.
Yeah.
So it was just Tuesday, just 1 day.
And then today you did Pilates. You're already back at it. Saturday, you're already planning to run. And what was funny, and this is kind of like a side note, but what was funny is that you had been saying it before, and I brought it up this Sunday, because I thought you were kind of serious, where you were like, I'm just going to treat this marathon as my long run, and I'm just going to continue moving forward since I'm doing the marathon. So this coming weekend, since I did 13.1, I'm going to do 15 miles this week. And I mean, there is some logic to that, honestly.
Yeah.
But like, you just had that thought and that thing in your mind where you're just like, I'm going to keep going. Like, I'm going to take my time of rest and then I'm back in it. Like, And I think that's so important, is to have that healthy rhythm. And then I also wrote something that I want to read. And it says, you grind for months, chase this huge goal, let's say a marathon. You cross the line, you feel on top of the world. And then what? You chill, you coast, you let off the gas. That's where most people lose, because the real work isn't in crossing the line. It's in who you become after it. Anybody can have one great moment, but legends, they keep showing up. And I think that's so important of this process. Again, people put this goal on a pedestal and they just focus on the goal. And it's that same, almost the same analogy that I used about focus. Like, you're now looking at your goal through a microscope and that's all you can see. But you haven't taken the time to pull your head away from the microscope and see the bigger picture of, like, the process. Like, during this process, I saw a change in you, where at the beginning, yeah, you were running out of pride. And granted, like, you didn't have the knowledge, you didn't have the wisdom of how to run properly or how to, like, start or whatever. And so I kind of caught on after, when you were like, you had this face of like, this is too hard. And I would see your Strava and I'm like, you're running pretty fast. Then I got you the heart rate monitor and that helped you dial in. And you killed your pride that day. That I think it was that morning. I was like, you just find a pace. It doesn't have to be as fast as you've been running. Find that pace where you feel like you could run forever. And I remember that day you came back and you're like, I felt great. It was awesome. Like, you came in. I think that was the day that you, I feel like you fully jumped the line. You were like, I'm a runner. I feel like before that you were like, kind of like, I'm going to try and this is freaking hard, but like, I'm not too sure. But that day you came back and I feel like it was almost like you turned from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Like, I got my wings. Like, I'm ready to go. Yeah. I'm flying, you know? That, and then like seeing your time organization and seeing like your determination and your discipline. Like you said, you would come back from Sundays, and for whatever reason, I don't know if they're pumping in something in like all the churches, but I feel like everyone after church on Sundays has this like just big like let's just relax and maybe take a nap, and just like everyone, like, I don't know, they don't have a lot of energy after a church. And so for you to come home, like you said, change into your running clothes and then get out there in like the middle of the summer when it's freaking like 80 something degrees, sun beating down, and you were still doing it, tired and exhausted, and you still had stuff to do. Like, you were becoming through that process, and a lot of people miss that. Again, they have like the goal as their sole focus. Like, I just want to get there. I don't care how I get there. I don't care what I do. I'm going to do it. And when I get there, I'm finally going to be able to just plop down and be like, oh, I did it. But then they don't like soak in like a sponge. Like, the whole process is teaching you who you are. The whole process is you learning a rhythm to be able to accomplish great things. Like, people miss that. A lot of people miss that.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to have this conversation, for people to hear and like have those moments of like pausing just for a second to look back and realize, like, I've been stacking like brick by brick who I am, like this determined person, this disciplined person, this wise and really good time management person, like this person that will lock in, this person that will do hard things. You're building brick by brick and you're building this thing. And just like take a moment to like realize, like, after you reach this goal, like, there's so much more you can accomplish now, because the goal was simply just a stepping stone. And I think that's again, and when we do these things, regardless of whatever arena that you're in, like all these things become universal. And in whatever space you want it, you choose to conquer, you can conquer it because of all these things that you've built and have been unleashed in you. Again, yeah. About the potential and the specialness that God has placed in us. Like we're realizing that little by little, like, wow, we're squeezing this juice. Like we're getting to see almost the world within, you know?
I like how you said of like the becoming part, because I do think in the beginning for sure, the way I saw like working out or reaching a goal was, okay, like I have to, kind of like dreading it almost, right? Like I have to, just to get this done, just to say I did this or whatever. And it wasn't until, yeah, I think about that time period. And then I went to a women's retreat in Palm Springs. And I was like, I'm going to run. Like, that was my first trip where I was going to see if I took it as, well, this is kind of a little getaway. I'm a stop. Or...
yeah, like a little bit of complacency.
Yeah, or, okay, I have this goal. Am I going to continue through? And I think if I missed that opportunity, I wouldn't have, again, you just, if you set the precedent, it's so important because it sets a precedent and the tone for the rest of like what's to come. And so that trip, I was determined, like I knew myself. So I was like, Nancy, like we just started, but like, we have to keep it up. Like, do you want to run with me? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And so we did it. And I think I enjoyed it. I loved the person I was becoming of waking up early, yeah, and we were exhausted. Like, mind you, we were going to sleep at 2 a.m., waking up at 6 a.m. in Palm Springs heat. Like, it was no joke, but we did it. And I just loved that feeling of, like, I'm badass. Like, like I could do things like this, you know, and feel confident and cool. And so I started seeing, because I was for sure the person of, like, oh, it's vacation. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not like you're basically saying I don't enjoy this. Like I can't wait until I'm on vacation because I don't have to do this.
Yeah.
And so your whole perspective, it's kind of like when you're miserable at work, you're just living for the weekend or you can't enjoy the process because you're just thinking about the other part. And so I was super proud of myself when we went to, oh my goodness, what is it called? Bass Lake.
Yeah.
And I ran Bass Lake. I could use it as an excuse, like it's family time, whatever. Legoland, I ran at Legoland. And I think all of those intentional moments led me to where like now I'm like looking forward to running on the cruise where I'm like, oh, now I get to run there and we're going to have a trip planned for Vegas. And it's like, oh, we can run there too. And knowing that this is a lifestyle, I know it sounds cheesy because a lot of people say that when they like doing a diet or working out or whatever, but like not looking forward to just the break because, oh, you just can't wait for it. Like that's a horrible way to live. Like you genuinely don't enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And you're just miserable throughout it. But enjoying like every season, whether it's the summer heat, whether it's the fall, whether you're on vacation or not, I think that's what God has planned for us and what Paul says, like, or I can be content through anything. And that shows you like what you're made of. That's how you say like that's a part where you're becoming, that's character building. And so that was, I think, like a huge mind shift for me because I was for sure that person of like, oh, I have to do this. I can't wait till I don't have to anymore. And now it's like, oh no, this is just what I do. And I think even my mind changed like today. I'm not going to lie. Like there's moments of weakness all the time. I was thinking like, oh, I should maybe take the whole week off. But then thankfully I have to pay for Pilates, like whether I like to or not. And so I'm like, dang, that's expensive. I'm going to do Pilates and then, well, might as well run. Like they're not long runs. So I'm like, okay, might as well run. But today Pilates, it was hard. And there was a moment like where I like, I'm shaking and the instructor's like, make it shake. And you, sometimes I like, it's so uncomfortable. You just stop shaking. And today I didn't stop in those uncomfortable moments where I was shaking, I was just like, Grace, the marathon probably might hurt more than this. Like, you better like feel this, know it, and be ready for this. Mm-hmm. And just like mentally prepared for that. Like, okay, so everything I go to, I said I might have to start like treadmill running, which is horrible. It's not fun. But I'm like, that is going to make me a better runner for the full marathon. Mm-hmm. Just saying. And I think that's what God meant. We're like, take every trial, every tribulation, and count it as joy, because it makes you more perseverance. It builds your character. So he's like, these moments that suck, like say, like, this is going to make me a better wife, a better husband. This is going to make me a better employee, a better mother. Like, this is going to make me so that when it happens, you're like, this is easy. Like, I can enjoy it all. It does take a while to get there, but it's so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I fully agree. And yeah, like you talking about the diet thing, because yeah, so many people are like, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to lose these 10 pounds, and they lose the 10 pounds, and then what happens? And that was the whole point of today. And then what happens?
Yeah.
Like, do you keep it up? No, most people don't want to. They want to reach that goal and then kapoof, let it go. And then you're back to, you lost 10 pounds to gain 20 pounds, you know, and it's because you never fully embraced with that identity. You never identified with that. And you suffered through it just to get to the goal, just to revert back. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something so powerful and so meaningful and so exciting. Like, I imagine being in your shoes and being at that women's conference in Palm Springs and being like, me and my friend are the only ones that are going to be awake at this time. And the only ones that are going out for this run. And just like, soaking in the fact, like, I am this person now. Mm-hmm. Where I used to not be this person. I used to be the person that slept in or whatever, partied hard or whatever the case may be. Like, I am now the person that will wake up 6 a.m. and go for a run and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And know that it's another break that I'm putting on top of what I'm building.
Yeah.
And that's such an amazing feeling to like realize the person that you are becoming or have become. Like, that's so empowering. That's like, that makes you embrace that identity even more. Mm-hmm. And to know, like, to compare the two lives, the one that you used to have and the one that you have now, and just like, I love this one so much more. Like, yeah, I'm locked in. Yeah, like, I have time management. And yeah, the older version of me would be like, you're freaking crazy for doing this. Like, mm-hmm. like, you used to be a person that didn't like to be tied down, didn't like, you know, like boundaries structure. Or whatever. Like, you just wanted to do whatever you felt, however you felt, that one, like, that's it. And now you're like a person that's locked in. And like, the old you is probably thinking like, you're crazy. But the future you is probably cheering you on. Like, this is exactly what we need. This is exactly what we need. You're going to be able to live long. You're going to be able to have success. You're going to be able to see everything that you've always wanted to see because of the things that you are doing right now.
Yeah.
And I just pray and hope that everybody else is listening to this and just like, okay, like, I'm starting to get it. Like, I want to embrace it. Like, I don't want this to just be about a goal and then kapoof, gone. Like, I want this to become a lifestyle. And that's usually what I tell everybody. And I try, like, for me, it's kind of hard, and this is like somewhat of a side note, but like, it's for me, it's hard because I'm always kind of known as like a judgmental person. And so like, to like tell somebody, be like, come on, dude, like, lock in, like, it's supposed to be a lifestyle. I feel like it's not well received coming from my lips because people are like, oh, okay, well, there goes David, like, judging again. But like, I truly say it from a place of like love and like that I desire the best for these people that I'm saying this to. Like, they need to embrace this as a lifestyle. Like, this is not just a goal and then revert back. Like, this is about like, get better, get better, get better, get better, and stop. I mean, it's easier said than done sometimes, but like, stop making it seem like it's a thing of suffering. Like, oh no, I don't get these donuts, and oh no, like, I don't get to spend money, and oh no, I don't get to sin the way that I've been wanting to sin. Like, oh no, I'm sacrificing so much. When you just need to change that perspective and be like, everything that I'm doing right now is going to benefit me greatly as time goes on, and it's just going to compound and expand over time.
That's good.
But yeah, is there anything else that you want to add?
I think there has to be, I don't know, I'm trying to see how I can word this, but I'll just say it out loud, and if it doesn't sound right, you can correct me. Mm-hmm. I think there has to be a little bit of, I don't know if it's pride in us or like God confidence, where you're like you have to believe it yourself. You have to be like, I can do it. Like, I am better than this. Like, I am, like, I feel like that's what fuels me in the beginning. And then where I'm like, no, like, but I think so many people think low of themselves. And again, it's that identity issue where they've lacked it and talked down upon themselves so much that they have beliefs like, I'm not consistent in anything. I just suck at running. And I'm just like, come on, be a little bit more like prideful, like confident, like whatever it is, like have it in you. And I wish I could inject that in people of like, just stop saying that about yourself and just do it. Like, just do it. And then once you do it, then you're going to be confident. You're going to like start speaking that over your life. Cause I truly think that's a lot of the barrier of people, like just from starting, like just like the lies that they tell themselves. So it's like, you need a little more confidence, identity building. And so, yeah.
I said this to one person once, and this is for the Christians out there. Because this person was like down on themselves and they were openly talking about like the doubts. And I remember in that moment, it hit me. And it, I think it was perfect for that moment, and it might be good for this moment as well. Of if you believe in God, you believe that he made you, created you. And when you have these doubts of, I can't, would it change your perspective to think you're not really doubting yourself, you're doubting God? You're not really lacking faith in yourself, you're lacking faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to believe and have faith in all that God has placed in you. And there are some people that might see things that are hard and try to excuse their way out. That's just not for me. I'm not made for that. God didn't make me for that. He made me for something else. But again, I think a lot of these things are universal. And I think that you could do all these things. And so, for the Christians, like, take a moment to reflect on that. If you've ever found yourself saying, I can't, I don't think that I can, I'm not that person. Are you really doubting yourself, or are you really doubting God? There's a big difference. I think it's easier to doubt yourself. It's harder to say, I doubt God, because you're supposed to believe in God. And if you do find yourself admitting to the fact that I might doubt God, then that's something that you need to pray about, something that you need to meditate on, and something that needs to be worked in you, and to the point that you reach a certain breakthrough of like, I believe that God has placed all this in me, and I believe that because of him, I can do this. But that day will never come if you never take the steps, if you never take the actions.
100%. I think that question is so powerful.
Anything else you want to add?
No, just catch me on the finish line on March 8th.
Yes, we both will be running the LA Marathon on March 8th.
I'm so excited to be running with you. I mean, I don't think I can. I'm killing my pride. I don't think I can catch or stay on the same pace as David, but I told him at least for 1 mile would be fun. But I can't wait to... I know you wanted to run it first before me, and that was kind of prideful. You're like, oh, yay, we get to run it together, but I'm so excited.
That's what God wanted, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will be running that with 43,000 other people, or next to 43,000 people. That will be a great event. It will be a challenging event because it's got a lot of hills. People usually do much less than their, or more time than their goal because of all those hills.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
But I know that we're going to train. We have 22 weeks to be able to train, to lock in, to be the best versions of ourselves for that. And like you said, to be able to see what we are made of. And I feel like we are both going to be smiling on the finish line and being like, we did that. And now on to the next one.
And it's so cool just also seeing the influence and the impact, like all our friends, a lot of our friends are going to run it as well. And a lot of our friends who aren't runners signed up for the 5K before.
Yes. We have more and more people joining the run culture.
So that is super awesome to see, knowing that, again, what you do is never for yourself. What you do always has a ripple effect, positive or negative. And so, like, don't be selfish and just think of yourself. Think about the people who are watching you, your friends. Think about your family. Think about what that speaks. And so in the beginning, you might not see any effect because we've been running for a while and never noticed it. But there will be a point where your fruit starts to show and people are like, I want to taste and see. And so that's cool too. And I'm thinking, like, we should do the shakeout with them because, you know, that's like a shakeout run. That'd be so fun.
What shakeout?
Like that 5K, they treat it as like a shakeout.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
You have to pay. You have to pay for everything. So if you want to sponsor our run, just kidding.
But yes, we have reached the end of this episode and I just want to encourage you to take the time to reflect on it. Take the time to reflect on the things that we've talked about. Take the time to reflect on your life. And if you need to re-watch it or rehear it, do that. Because I think this is a very important one. Because it's about, you know, reaching goals. And it's just very, it gives you a more solid perspective, I think. And it helps you really start to move in the right direction. And so, yes, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. We ask you very kindly and very graciously to like, subscribe, comment, share if this is a blessing to you. We'll be coming out with our clips as well. So if you guys can repost those, that'd be amazing. But we love you so much. We appreciate you guys so much. And we will see you guys on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.